why does Saudi Arabia get a civilian nuclear deal, but Iran doesn't get a civilian nuclear deal?
Well, again, this agreement is still being worked out. It will eventually, hopefully, be finalized with the condition that the president spoke about this morning. But this agreement in particular, as it's been discussed thus far, does give priority access for American companies in the Saudi nuclear energy program, which will ultimately benefit American industry workers and supply chains. So the deal that has been discussed thus far and will continue to be discussed absolutely puts America first, and that's obviously very important to this president.
This is my video update on this Friday afternoon, July the 24th, coming to you from Athens, Greece. Let's talk about some news. And we are going to start things off with Trump's statement to Axios, a quick interview, according to Axios, of the U.S. president, where Trump said that the United States is preparing for a big strike into Iran. That was his statement to Axios in an exclusive Trump close to decision on massive attack on Iran. Not a big attack, but a massive attack on Iran. And Trump said in the interview that Iran wants to negotiate, but are not ready to make a deal at the moment. And I quote, they haven't received enough pain yet. That is what he told Axios in this interview. And we are on day 13 of U.S. strikes into Iran. And the U.S. is concentrating most of their strikes along the southwest of Iran. Many strikes close to the Strait of Hormuz. Yesterday, the United States, they hit... they hit Avaz really hard yesterday. They're also hitting the area of... looking for that helicopter of Jask, which is along the coast of Iran, the southwest of the country. And these airstrikes are supposed to get Iran to either open up the Strait of Hormuz and get the oil flowing, or the airstrikes will in some way give the United States control over the Strait of Hormuz. Perhaps some sort of a ground operation, though I don't believe the United States is in a position at this moment in time to actually send in ground forces into Iran, and not only send them in, but also hold on to the area along the Strait of Hormuz. I just don't see that as possible at this time, maybe 6 months down the line. But we'll see if we do get a massive attack into Iran, as Trump has told Axios. The goal is for the United States is to get the spice flowing. You got to get the spice flowing through Hormuz. That is the United States' path to winning this war. That's how they'll get a regime change, if they can get the spice flowing. Whether they control Hormuz or somehow force Iran to open Hormuz, that's their path to victory. And Iran knows this. They are well aware of what the United States is trying to do. And they're well aware of the U.S.'s plan to get Hormuz open again, and then to turn this into a long war where eventually some sort of opening will appear, which will then give the U.S. the opportunity to get their regime change in Iran. So that's where we are with the situation in Iran. And if they can't get Hormuz open because the United States is under time pressure, they are not only fighting against Iran, but they're fighting the clock as well, because there are no more petroleum reserves that they can throw at the oil markets to keep the price of oil to 100 or below 100. The entire world has pretty much tapped into their petroleum reserves. So reserves are running low. The price of oil is going up. I believe Brent crude has now passed the $100 mark. One second. 100 oil is back. Yeah, Brent crude oil prices are now officially trading above 100 a barrel, up 42% in 20 days. Inflation expectations and interest rates are rising sharply again. So yeah, the clock is ticking for the Trump administration. They have to get something done quickly. If they can't get the spice flowing through Hormuz in the next couple of weeks, then they're going to have to move on to Plan B. And you know what Plan B is. Plan B is Pickaxe Mountain. That's right, Pickaxe Mountain. The off-ramp for the Trump administration. Obliterate Pickaxe Mountain and then talk it up, hype it up, how the United States has obliterated Iran's Pickaxe Mountain, where enriched uranium was being stored deep underground. And the U.S. military executed the most incredible, the greatest military operation in the history of the world by obliterating Pickaxe Mountain. And then the U.S. can step away from the conflict for a couple of months. They can rearm, resupply. The price of oil can ease up and go down. Get through the midterms in November. And then you start up with round four of the conflict. So that's the plan B, Pickaxe Mountain, which will give Trump an off-ramp, a victory narrative off-ramp. And Trump is good at that stuff. He'll know how to market the victory of Pickaxe Mountain. Pickaxe Mountain. I Can't Quit You, starring Volodymyr Zelensky and Justin Trudeau. Introducing Pete Hegseth. Yo, bro, we obliterated Pickaxe Mountain, bro. It was the greatest operation in the history of the world, bro. Mr. Trudeau, I Can't Quit You. Pickaxe Mountain, now in theaters. Pickaxe Mountain in Iran. Pickaxe Mountain, okay. Anyway, that is the situation with Iran. And Iraq actually delivered a ceasefire deal to Iran, according to the New York Times. And Iran told Iraq, no, not interested. Delivered by the Iraqi Prime Minister, al-Zaidi, direct to Tehran. And Tehran said, no way. The New York Post is reporting that Iran's frightening missile accuracy sparks fears. Adversaries are helping Tehran target U.S. troops, CIA sites. The accuracy of Iran's missiles must be with the help of Russia and China. That was what Reuters reported yesterday, and now the New York Post is picking up on the Reuters report. Trump posted on Truth Social that he's figured out a way to utilize Iran's frozen assets that are being held by the United States. He's figured it out. President Trump posted, please let this statement serve to represent until further notice that from this point forth, any and all damages done to ships, cargo, or anything related thereto will be paid for by Iranian money that the United States has in its possession and controls. These damages may be very substantial, but nevertheless, this is the fair and equitable thing to do. Thank you for your attention to this matter, President Donald J. Trump. I paused there a couple of times as I was reading this post because I read the word forth, that from this point forth, Trump wrote this, and then he says, or anything related thereto. From this point forth, doesn't sound like Trump, or anything related thereto, will be paid by Iranian money that the United States has in its possession. Did King Charles write this, or did President Donald J. Trump write this? Maybe the same script writers that handle Stammer and are now handling the Berminator, or write posts for King Charles, are also writing for U.S. President Trump. I had to pause there too, fourth. this point fourth. I'm even tripping up over my words here. This point fourth. Okay, Trump, we believe that you wrote this Truth Social post. Anyway, look, they figured out a way to take the money and run. Take the money and run. Yeah. Now they figured out a way to get to the frozen assets, the Iranian frozen assets. Yeah, okay. Kiss that money goodbye. All right, so speaking of oil, Reuters is reporting that Russia's oil and gas revenue has gone up by 60% year over year in July. 60%. How are those sanctions working out for you, Collective West? Russia's state oil and gas revenue, which accounts for around a fifth of total budget income, is seen rising by 60% in July from the same month a year ago, thanks to the increase in global oil prices, Reuters calculations showed on Thursday. I'm confused. I thought the EU has a price cap of $44. By the way, yesterday I made a mistake. I said the price cap was 44 euros. It's actually $44. It's even lower than 44 euros if you exchange it to USD. The price cap in the sanctions is $44, not 44 euros. If it was 44 euros, it would be around what, 50 bucks, 50 USD, or 40, 48 USD? No, the price cap is $44 in the 21st sanctions package. But Reuters is saying that Russia's making a whole lot of money selling their oil and gas. What's going on? They shouldn't be making a lot of money because the customer, the European Union, has decided to enforce a $44 price cap. Fixed $44 price cap. How is Russia making money? I don't understand. I thought the customer dictates the price of anything and everything. I don't get it. I was never good at economics. But I am using the European Union's price cap strategy in my daily life. And it works. Everything has become a whole lot cheaper for me. I bought this coffee with 5 cents, 5 euro cents. It costs around 3. The cat is on the hunt. He's on the hunt. And he missed. And he missed. Next time, Mr. Athens Cat, next time. Anyway, I got this coffee for 5 euro cents. It costs 3 euros, or 2.50 actually, 2.50 euros is what it costs. Alfredo Espresso Schetto. No sugar, no milk. And so I went and I ordered it, and they told me that's €2.50. And I said, I'm putting a price cap of 5 cents on this coffee. And they said, okay, 5 cents. Here you go. So it works. It absolutely works. I recommend that that you guys use the same technique. And I think it'll work for anything. Food, drinks, coffee, cars, apartments, homes, clothes. You set the price and the business will have to give you that product based on the price that you set out. It works. The EU economics. Anyway, since we're on the subject of the European Union, stunning and brave, Kaya Kallas and the European Union, they are going to place a blockade on Russia. Yeah, a blockade on Russia. Russian ships that are heading towards India. A blockade in the Indian Ocean, if I've got my geography correct. Yeah, that's what Stunning and Brave said. She announced it. The European Union, in much the same way that they are seizing ships in the Mediterranean, they are now going to seize Russian ships or the Russian shadow fleet. I shouldn't say Russian ships. Russia's shadow fleet, the shadow fleet of tankers that are transporting Russian oil on their way to India or shipping oil from India. They will be seized because, according to Stunning and Brave, they are funding Putin's war machine, and they are operating with fake shipping flags. So this is the EU blockade that will be implemented on Russia, the Kallas blockade. EU is launching a mission to board Russian shadow fleet tankers in the Indian Ocean. EU member states have authorized Operation Atalanta. Okay, not Atlanta, Atalanta. Atlanta, Atalanta. Okay, the Union's counter-piracy naval mission off the Horn of Africa to begin conducting flag verification boardings of vessels suspected of belonging to Russia's shadow fleet in the Western Indian Ocean. Defense News reported the decision announced this week by EU Foreign Policy Chief Kaya Kallas extends to Atalanta, a power already exercised in the EU's Mediterranean mission, Operation Irini. Kallas made the announcement alongside news that Irini forces had boarded the sanctioned oil tanker MV South Star on July 20th, acting on suspicion that the vessel was sailing under a false flag. Quote, every illicit voyage helps sustain Russia's war machine. We are matching our sanctions with action at sea, Kallas said, adding that the Atalanta authorization further tightens the net. That rhymes. We are matching our sanctions with action. At sea, we are matching our sanctions with action. Sanctions with action. That rhymes. It's a good rhyme. Kallas could be a rap star. Sanctions with actions. My name is Kaya Kallas. I'm the EU's top diplomat. But don't you think that I'm a doormat. The YouTube blogger known as Alex calls me stunning and brave. But I'm here to tell you, Russia, you misbehave. our 21 sanctions will be backed up with actions. Wicked, wicked. Peace out. Oh, boy. Anyway, sanctions with actions. Yeah, we'll see how that blockade works out for the European Union. Oh, boy. They just don't know. when to call it quits, do they? Since we're talking about a blockade, we have the blockade in the Black Sea, Odessa and all the smaller ports along the Black Sea. Black Sea and Ukraine are being blockaded, effectively being blockaded by Russia. This is Russia's response to Ukraine's attack on grain ships in the Sea of Azov. And this Russian retaliation is devastating Ukraine. This is an economic catastrophe for the Zelensky regime. And not only for the Zelensky regime, it's a catastrophe for the European Union, for food imports from Ukraine. The EU was importing a lot of food, of grain from Ukraine. So this is going to really hurt the EU. It will cause price increases in the European Union. And I was reading the latest piece from Simplicius the Thinker, and he reported that Ukraine now is, because nothing's getting through, Maersk shipping is out, they're pulling out of Ukraine. It was announced by the Ukrainian authorities that zero ships have been able to make it to the port in Odessa. Nothing is getting in, nothing is getting out. We're talking about zero movement. Anyway, he reported that Ukraine is now looking at alternative ways to get their wheat and their grain and their food to Europe. And they're looking at barges on rivers. They're looking at railway to Romania. But the problem is that those methods, those combined methods, will only be able to account for around one fifth to one sixth of the wheat grain exports for Ukraine, because Odessa had the capacity. It was able to export everything that Ukraine was producing. But if they go through a barge or through railway, you're looking at one fifth of that. And that is if, that's the best case scenario, if Russia decides not to attack the railway or barges. And attacking a barge, you got to imagine that that's extremely simple. Slow-moving barge. It's a sitting duck for Russian attacks, if they want to. But even in the best-case scenario, if Russia backs off and they say, you know what, we won't go after the barge, we won't go after your railway, you're still only looking at one-fifth of Ukraine's wheat exports, grain exports. So the situation for Ukraine is catastrophic. The situation for the European Union is catastrophic, and they brought it all onto themselves because they came up with the stupid idea. Most likely this originated in DC, but someone thought up of the very dumb idea of attacking Russian grain ships in the Sea of Azov. And now Russia has responded. Russia chokes Ukraine's lifeline Black Sea export corridor, according to Politico. Moscow is holding global food security hostage, Ukrainian Foreign Minister Andrei Shibainu said on Wednesday. So what Ukraine is going to do now is they're going to take this to the UN Security Council. I said this yesterday, and we'll see what happens at the UN Security Council. But of course, we all know that Russia has a veto at the UN Security Council, and they will exercise that veto. China may join Russia, or China may abstain. But nothing's going to happen from Ukraine's efforts of taking this to the UNSC. So what Ukraine is doing is that they are striking at e-commerce warehouses. They hit two Wildberries warehouses, logistics warehouses in St. Petersburg. How did they get that far up in Russia? I think we all know, but they hit these logistics online e-commerce centers. Russia smashed Kiev today with big missile strikes. They did a lot of damage in Kiev. And the Telegraph, they put out an article with the title, Why Russia's Amazon Became Ukraine's Number One Target. Kiev's drone chief says strikes aim to shatter the illusion of comfortable peacetime life enjoyed by citizens of aggressor nations. So the reason that they are now going after online e-commerce warehouses is because they want to make life difficult for Russian citizens. They want to shatter the illusion of normalcy. That's why they're going after these e-commerce warehouses, according to the Telegraph. The effect that this is going to have is that it's going to make Russian citizens even more hardline and even more angry. They're going to want Russia to escalate, to respond even harder against Ukraine. That's going to be the effect of going after the Wildberries warehouses. And on top of all of that, it just makes the collective West look desperate and weak. They started out with oil refineries, didn't work. They crank up the sanctions, doesn't work. They went after Russia's agriculture sector. We see what's happening now with the blockade of Odessa. And so now they're going after the Amazon of Russia. They're going after online retailer warehouses. That's weakness and desperation. Not because it's some sort of a military target, but because, according to the Telegraph, they want people's lives in Russia to get harder. Ukraine also launched a Flamingo, allegedly it's a Flamingo missile, into a Russian factory in Kirov. Don't be afraid. You can rest. And I doubt it was a Flamingo. I doubt it. I'm thinking Storm Shadow, Scalp. Who knows, maybe even a Taurus, rebranded as a Flamingo. So a lot of missile strikes from Russia into Kiev. And you had the drone strike into St. Petersburg. And you also had a Flamingo into Kirov. So let's shift gears. And talk about, or do an update on the Trump-Saudi deal. Because according to Trump himself, but also according to CNN, Trump did not really green light the nuclear deal between the United States and Saudi Arabia. His energy minister went ahead with it and announced it, and they signed everything. But according to CNN, Trump was not in agreement yet with the Saudi nuclear deal. And Trump even posted about this on Truth Social. The civil nuclear deal, and Trump put a condition now on Saudi Arabia, which is going to make it very difficult for this deal to move forward. It's going to be extremely hard for Saudi Arabia to meet this one demand that now Trump has placed on this nuclear deal, which signals to me that Trump may want to kill this thing. The civil nuclear deal, there will be no enrichment of material being made between the United States, Department of Energy, and Saudi Arabia, which pertains only to non-military use, such as the ones that Iran and the UAE and others already have, will be approved, but is totally subject to Saudi Arabia joining the very respected and successful Abraham Accords. The United States is not opposed to civil non-enriched nuclear facilities. Thank you for your attention to this matter, President Donald J. Trump. First off, it's interesting that he mentions Iran in this post, huh? like the non-military use that Iran and the UAE have. He says that in this post. Very, very interesting. And then he says that the United States is not opposed to civil non-enriched nuclear facilities. Keep in mind that he says that at the end of this post, while a couple of lines above, he mentions that Iran and the UAE have these types of arrangements. Are you admitting, President Trump, that Iran had a civil nuclear enrichment program, not for military use? Is that what you're admitting? Very, very, very strange post from the President of the United States. But then he puts the condition on Saudi Arabia that they have to agree to the Abraham Accords, and it's going to be extremely difficult for Saudi Arabia to do such a thing. Not that the princes and the kings of Saudi Arabia are opposed to it, but the people. How would they sell such a thing to the people of Saudi Arabia? That's the problem that they have. So that condition may sink this nuclear enrichment deal between the United States and Saudi Arabia. And the reports are that Trump, one of the reasons he wasn't ready to sign the deal, and the Department of Energy pushed this through, allegedly without Trump's permission. This is allegedly. This is CNN's reporting. The reason was that there was a lot of negativity to this deal. A lot of negative responses to the nuclear enrichment deal between the United States and Saudi Arabia. Another thing that Trump didn't like was that this deal was part of the Biden administration, and he didn't like that. And another reason was because the media was asking about Saudi Arabia and the Abraham Accords. And the media was saying, why are you going to enter into a deal with Saudi Arabia on nuclear enrichment when Saudi Arabia has not decided to join the Abraham Accords? So it was those three things that were holding Trump back from finalizing the deal with Saudi Arabia. But then the Department of Energy somehow got ahead of its... Christopher Wright is the... Right? Yeah, Chris Wright, I think, is the Minister of Energy. He got ahead of himself and he said, okay, let's sign this and get this through. And then Trump is upset or was upset with the Department of Energy, saying that he hadn't given the final okay. And then he posted this on Truth Social, and here we are. And he placed the condition of the Abraham Accords. So an interesting development with that story. And we can now talk about... Did I get to everything? Yeah, right before we get to Clown World, we can talk about how the Senate is ready to take a vote on Lindsey Graham's bone-crushing sanctions bill. They are ready to vote on it. They have enough votes to get this bill through. And Schumer is working with Republicans to add to the bill sanctions on Iran, as Trump had requested. And that's it. Once they add the sanctions against Iran, which I believe they may have already added, they're going to vote on this bill in the next couple of days or couple of weeks. And then they're going to send it to Trump, I guess, for his signature. And this will place the 100% tariffs on countries that trade Russian oil, 500% tariffs on Russia, sanctions on Putin, sanctions on Kremlin officials, and all that kind of nonsense. So it looks like this sanctions bill will be on Trump's desk very soon. According to Axios, Senate preparing to vote on Russia sanctions next week. So next week is when they're going to vote on this, and it will pass. It will definitely pass. At least that is what Axios is reporting. We also have reports that that Alensky is indeed going to be traveling to the United States.
Le Goblin Vert
will fly to America, and he will attend Lindsey Graham's funeral.
My good friend, Lindsey Graham, I will miss you, bro.
And then he's going to meet with U.S. President Trump, and Trump is willing to meet with Le Goblin Vert. Trump needs some more of that Alensky number five. He needs some more Alensky curse. The Alensky curse is really hurting Trump. It is working on Trump, and it is hurting Trump, the Alensky curse, but he needs just a little bit more to completely derail and sink his presidency. So a little more Alensky number five, a little more Alensky curse, and Trump's second term will be coming to some sort of a close, no doubt about it. No one defeats the Alensky curse, not even U.S. President Trump. If I was advising Trump, if I was on his team, which I'm not, but if I was on his team, I would say, Mr. President, please do not meet with Alensky. please, Mr. President. But nope, his staff is pushing him to meet with Alensky. Anyway, that is all but confirmed. Le Goblin Vert at Graham's funeral, and then a meeting with U.S. President Trump. Unfortunately for Le Goblin Vert, there is no money, there are no weapons, there are no Patriot interceptors. I was reading a report this morning, which once again claims that the United States is running very low on interceptors. It's running so low on interceptors that various U.S. officials, China hawks, are very, very afraid that the United States will not have enough weapons and enough interceptors for when they are going to enter into a war with China over Taiwan. No joke. This is what this article was saying. They're afraid that the preparations for conflict with China could be postponed because they are running so low on interceptors. So let's get to some clown worlds, huh? Let me walk back this way. So what do we have lined up today in our clown world segment? We have a post from Renaissance Man, Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden posted on X, Renaissance Man. He's an author. He's a master chemist. He's a painter, an artist, a venture capitalist, an energy expert. He posted on, and now he is a Twitter X social media personality. He posted on X, "We are supposedly at war to stop Iran from enriching the uranium we obliterated over a year ago. Yesterday, we signed a deal to help Saudi Arabia enrich uranium, the first time the United States has ever helped another country enrich uranium on foreign soil. The Saudis refused the inspection protocol. 140 other countries accept. Too intrusive, they said. Trump agreed. He signed a national security waiver to get around the rule. The Saudis paid Kushner $100 million. They put $2 billion into his firm. They put another $6 billion into LIV Golf, which pays Trump properties to host its tournaments. They signed $10 billion in Trump-branded real estate deals in Jeddah and Riyadh, all in just the last few years. But sure, my paintings." That's a clever post from Hunter Biden. And he's probably not wrong. He's probably very correct in what he is saying. But come on, Hunter, come on. Tell us about Burisma. Tell us about Project Ukraine. Tell us about your dad and the Obama administration and everything they had going on with Project Ukraine. Come on, Hunter. Glass house, stones, right? Come on, Hunter. He talks about the Middle East and Iran all the time when he's criticizing Trump. But one thing I noticed about Hunter is that he tries to stay away from Project Ukraine and Burisma. which was his dad's big project. That was his dad's love, was Project Ukraine and war with Russia. He doesn't like to talk about that. Maybe one day he'll post about Project Ukraine and what his family and what the Democrats and what the Obama administration and Burisma were up to, though we already kind of know what was going on, don't we? Anyway, we have one more clown world here at this outdoor gym. Let's see, we got an elliptical cross trainer. Looks good. Looks good. We have a sit-up station, sit-up board. Not bad. Another elliptical cross trainer. Okay. Another elliptical cross trainer. The rider. We got the rider. And the very big bug. And we got the bench press or the chest press. Upper body. The outdoor gyms. Love it. All right. Clown world number two, and we'll wrap up this video. According to Berliner Zeitung, Germany is paying 5 times more for gas after ditching Russia imports. So according to the, is it a German publication or a Swiss publication? Berliner, well, Berliner Zeitung must be German, right? I'm thinking of another one that is a Swiss publication. Anyway, stupid me. Berliner Zeitung, duh. Germany was importing gas at 12 euros per megawatt hour in 2020. And that was through long-term contracts that it had with Russia. And it ditched all of that. And then we know about the blowing up of Nord Stream as well by Gilligan, Marianne, and Ginger. And Germany then moved on to the spot market and short-term deals. And now they are paying more than 60 euros or $68 for gas. A 5x from what they were paying in 2020. All because they had to stick it to Putin. Right? They had to stick it to Putin, Germany. Oh boy, the old Russian contracts were cheaper than the market price, Berliner Zeitung said, adding that Germany would also be unable to increase gas imports if needed, since the pipelines from Norway are at their full capacity and cannot handle much more. Yeah, right now, Germany, according to Berliner Zeitung, they're trying to fill their energy needs from purchases from Norway, everything short-term from Norway, from the United States. Used to be from Qatar, but it seems like that's offline now. And they're at full capacity now. So Germany's kind of screwed. And I think that is it. Trump is going to, or he has finalized new tariffs on about a dozen countries. And he's going around the Supreme Court ruling with these tariffs of 10 to 12.5% by saying that these tariffs are combating forced labor. So these countries are using forced labor, and the Trump administration is making the claim that they can now place 10 to 12.5% tariffs on these countries. The duties imposed under Section 301 of the Trade Act of 1974. That's what Trump is using now. Will go some way to rebuilding the tariff wall felled by February Supreme Court decision. In the wake of that ruling, President Trump imposed a 10% global tariff under Section 122 of the same statute. But the law only authorizes tariffs for 150 days, and the current ones are set to expire on Friday. today. Today those tariffs expire and we now have the forced labor tariffs, which will go into effect. So that is the video, everybody. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on Rumble, Telegram, X. We are also on Substack. Remember to like this video. Helps out the channel a whole lot. And I'm very thankful for everyone that smashes like. Very thankful for everyone that is subscribed to this channel. And of course, we cannot forget about that hype button. Obliterate the hype. Feels good to obliterate that hype. I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care. There we go. There we go. I found one.